Oh, there's scripture. Sorry. Scripture.
People of God said,
amen. Amen. In the days of Jesus, as you may know, things were pretty rough and hard. Not only was life hard in terms of making a living every day, most of the people barely survived and had, you know, food for the day. But also, there were other difficult things at the time, such as the Roman people, right? The government was oppressing them and kind of bullying them all the time as the Jews. And so they always had to live under that kind of a tension and stress. But then, if that weren't enough, they also had the burden of the Pharisees. Okay, so the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the time, as you have heard and know, that they multiplied the do's and don'ts, religious do's and don'ts, that they had to abide by, or else you would get kicked out of the church, which meant that, you know, that there goes your salvation. So they had to, this was, I think of the three, even though all three are really bad, if I had to pick one, it would be the third one, with the religious leaders and their do's and don'ts that gave them the most stress and was most worrisome and burdensome. Okay, so it is under that kind of situation, circumstance, that Jesus says what he says in this passage. But before we look at the passage again, I want you to ask yourself now, here in the present time, what burden do you have? What burdens do you have in your life in the present? That's what they had in Jesus' day. And so Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. What is your weariness and heavy laden in your life? Is it job? Is it relationship? Is it finances? Is it, you know, is it some kind of struggle? Is it is addiction? Or, God forbid, is it the church? You know, is it the church? Is it religious expectations. Like, religion is known for bringing guilty feelings. Do you struggle with guilt every day? That could be a burden. That could be wearisome over the years, okay? So I don't know what it is for you, but Jesus here describes these things as a yoke. That's how a yoke. A yoke being what they put on, like, animals to do work, right? They put these usually wooden, you know, yokes on the animals. And so he calls this compares it to a yoke. So what yoke, here's the question, what yoke do you feel like you have on right now? Right now, if somebody were to ask you, what are you feeling? What are you feeling? I have the yoke of, what is it for you? It could be depression. It could be, you know, whatever it is. We all have different yokes. But if it's wearing you down and it's making you stressed and burdened, then that's a yoke. What is your yoke? As you think about that, let's read this once again. And I want, as I read this, I want you to really listen to what Jesus is saying. Because, I don't know, it just, sometimes we read things and we miss it. But I want you to really, I know this may be a very common or a familiar passage to you, but look at it again. Look at this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. 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 All right? That's an important word, right? What's right after that? Take my yoke. Why are those two things so close together? Could it be because they are one and the same? See, when you and I think about yoke, we think about work, right? All right, what is this? What do I have to do? What do I have to, you know, you get this yoke on me, and what do I have to do? But here, Jesus says, my yoke is rest. No, not easy. My yoke is rest. Now, does that make sense in your mind? Is that an oxymoron? Because you're like, what? What yoke means work? But he's saying yoke here is rest. Have you ever thought of a yoke as rest? Jesus, when people are hearing this, they're going, wow, this is mind-blowing. Take my yoke upon you. The yoke of rest. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you are big on what? Sabbath. And what is Sabbath? Rest. Okay? It's not more do. It's rest. That's what we're big on. If anybody's big on rest, it should be us. Right? Am I right? Let me give you just two things that the Sabbath rest is talking about. One is obviously in the commandment, it says, do not labor. Don't let your animals labor. Don't let your slaves labor. Stop your work. So don't work. That's why, for the most part, Adventists don't work on Sabbath or Saturday. All right? Physical rest. And that's why a lot of us take afternoon siestas, right? And because it's part of the ad, this is Sabbath rest. Physical rest. You know, and we're big on that. We're like, we get so hung up on that, and we're like, you shouldn't do this. We become a little Pharisaic, right? So you're like, you shouldn't swim. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't, we have a list of things you shouldn't do because we want you to physically stop. Stop. Okay, that's big. That's big. And that's, but there is a second part. There is a second part. It's not just physical. It is spiritual rest. Now look at this. Look at this. Hold on. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Did it say flesh? No. Did it say body? No. It said souls. That is the other huge, and to me, Jesus was emphasizing more the spiritual soul than the physical. Okay, that's just my opinion. Because I think those people in Jesus' day were, yeah, physically burdened and weary, but I think they were even more religiously and spirit and burdened in the soul, because the religious leaders made it that way, and he hated it. And I think it's the same today. I think it's still the same. And so here it is, Sabbath. All of us who are big on Sabbath, please listen to me. Here it is. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. There still remains. For anyone who enters God's rest also what? Rest from their works, just as God did from his. So what Paul is talking about here is that we rest from the works to be saved. Our determination to be good enough to be saved. God is saying rest. You need to rest. So if you're big on Sabbath, you should be equally big on ending your work to be saved. Because God already did it, right? He already did the work, and he gives it to you by grace. It's a free gift, right? So when you say Sabbath, it's not just physically, oh, I'm going to rest today. And as you know, Sabbath is not just Saturday. God wants the Sabbath mentality to continue on, right? Through the week. And what is that? It is not only giving to God your daily stresses, whether it's work, finances, whatever we mentioned. It's not only handing those things over to him and trusting God with it. That's part of it. But the greater thing I'm telling you is to stop beating yourself up. Stop making your life miserable, trying to be good enough. That's what I'm saying. God is saying, stop it. Just stop it. Rest. You don't have to keep working. As God rested from his work, we are to rest from ours. Salvation is a done deal. It is complete. You don't have to work to be saved. If you continue to work, then you are not a Sabbath keeper. Now, I'm going to get to what it is to, so do we not do anything? I'm going to get to that. Just hold on. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Gentle and humble. What does it mean to be gentle and humble? Just quickly, we need to look at the life of Jesus. Look at the life of Jesus. If you were to describe the life of Jesus in two different ways, I know you could come up with various things, but I want to suggest to you, I want you to think about these two things that I'm going to mention. When you look at the life of Jesus, think about these two things. He was relaxed and unhurried. Is that a true statement? If you look at Jesus' life, no matter what really happens, he's always calm. Nothing really like, wah! You know, he doesn't get overworked about anything. He's calm. And then the person comes, my child is dying, can you come? Come. He's like, he just goes, I'll come. But he takes his sweet time going over. He's never in a hurry. Drives people nuts. My son is like this, drives me nuts. Come on, hurry up! He's like, anyway. But Jesus is his gentle and humble. I like to interpret that as relaxed and unhurried. Even when Jesus was whipping the people, this is Jesus, I tell you not, this is how Jesus did it. this is Jesus putting together the whip, you know, calmly. You know, he's not like, no, he's calmly. Everything he does is done relaxed and unhurried. It's an example for us. Learn from me. Put everything in my hands. Go and learn of my timing and how I do it. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, here is the part that I was telling you about. Here it is. So do we do nothing? Does that mean we do no work? All right, I don't know if you know Morris. It's not important that you know Morris Vanden. But the story goes, and don't ask me whether this is accurate or not. But anyway, the story goes is that Morris Vanden, he was at La Sierra, and that he wanted to propose to his girlfriend for marriage. But he didn't have a car. And his girlfriend was miles away. And he couldn't find the ride. So what did he do? He walked. He walked miles and miles that day to go and propose to his wife. Now, for the normal person, if I told you we're going to walk 5 miles today, you'd be like, you're crazy. No way, that's too much work, too much work. For this person, it would have been, what would have been harder for him to walk the 5 miles or sit in the room? Sit in the room would have been harder. Amen? For him to walk the 5 miles, no work. Because he really wanted to do it, right? He needed to get there. Labor of love. Work that I love, does not feel like work. Why do people run marathons? You know, you think they're crazy, right? Why do you go through all that? But they do it because they love it. It's not work for them. Okay, like if you have a job that you hate, then you get paid for it, and that's great, you know. But if you're really blessed and fortunate if you have a job that you love, because then you're like, wow, even if I didn't get paid, I'd still do it. It wouldn't feel like work. That's why that's not realistic, really. A lot of times, you know, you got to make a living and blah, blah. But if you did something you loved, it wouldn't feel like work. And that's why Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because if you love it, it's not hard. It doesn't feel hard. It may be hard, but it doesn't feel hard. And so somebody asked me, so how do you get there? How do you get to that point in your Christian life? How do you get to that point in your walk with God? Good question. I think that's the hardest part. I think the hardest part is resisting the urge and the temptation to throw off the yoke. That's the hard part. To keep focus on Jesus and his yoke is the tough part. Because there are so many distractions in life. Amen? Especially the millennials, I feel for you. Because you live in a time and you live in a culture where every second of the day is taken up. You know, it's like there's no time to really reflect and there's no downtime. It's just like always, you know, that's kind of the society we live in. And so it's like we have all these gadgets that are supposed to make our life easier and more efficient, and yet we have less time than ever before. Why is that? So the challenge, my friends, my brothers and sisters, the challenge, the hard part is to keep the yoke of Jesus on and not give in to the temptation to exchange it for a different yoke. How do you do that? It is through spiritual disciplines. Okay? We do different things. One thing works for another person, something doesn't. You may really like journaling. Some of you may really like, you know, fasting. Whatever it is. There are different things that we do in life that are supposed to help us keep focused on Jesus. Whether it's prayer or Bible study or whatever it is. You choose it. But you need some spiritual discipline that you do that will help you focus. That will help you to slow down. When life is like, there's got to be some discipline. That's why we call it discipline. I'm going to share with you one discipline before I wrap this up. One discipline that I've come to really like, and it's simple to do, and you could do it any time during the day. So I want you to do this with me real quick. It's called a breath prayer. Breath prayer. So here's how it goes. So when I feel like life is getting stressful, I'm becoming overwhelmed, or a temptation is trying to overtake me, or whatever it is, I do a breath prayer. And it goes like this. I just stop, and I breathe, and as I inhale, I say peace. And as I exhale, I say, I am in the arms of Jesus. In the arms of Jesus. Okay? So I go, peace. And as I exhale, I say, in the arms of Jesus. It's a simple breath prayer. But as you keep doing this, as you do that, peace. In the arms of Jesus. In the loving arms of Jesus. As you do that, it calms you down. It slows you down. It makes you focus on Jesus and keep the yoke on. That's just one discipline. One discipline. So pick a discipline. Disciplines, whatever it is, just experiment and see what works for you to help you to focus. So here it is, my demonstration as I close. I spilled water everywhere. All right, so here it is. This is how, if I were to show you one model, I don't know if I did this here before, but maybe I have. But anyway, this is a one demonstration and one model that helps us to visualize how Christianity works. Okay? So we are kind of empty on our own. Yes, we get filled up with stuff. But so God comes and he says, you know, I am the water of life. I'm whatever it is, right? And he comes and he says, I want to come into your life. I want to fill you up. I want to fill you with my spirit. The spirit of peace, the spirit of rest. My yoke with my love. And so as we focus on God through these disciplines and whatnot, God, as we focus and put our eyes on Jesus, he begins to fill us. And so every day as I do this, I'm very intentional about stopping throughout the day and focusing on Jesus. I am filled up. And then eventually, inevitably, it overflows into those around us, our families. As we do this consistently in our lives, every time we get the chance, he fills us. And then it begins, this spirit of peace and rest begins to overflow and is experienced by those around us. And then finally, as we continue to receive of Jesus, the living water, it overflows into our work. It flows into our ministry. That's how it works. And when we are filled with Jesus, it is not so much, I'm not going to say that it's never, but it's going to be more of a labor of love that I do because I want to do it and I love to do it. If you don't love to do it, if you're not convinced of it, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus and ask him. Make it so. Because I could force myself to do something I don't want to do, and I'm going to be burdened. I know of so many people who have told me, oh, I hate this. I don't know why I'm doing this. Don't do it. I mean, you're going to be bitter. You're going to be, unless you're convinced, unless you have allowed the Spirit to convince you. And I find this true in my life. There's like, you know, something, somebody says, this is good for you, you should do it. And I'm like, I don't know. But then I don't just throw it out. I think about it. I say, Lord, I pray to the Holy Spirit, if you want me to be convinced of this, then convince me. And in time, I kid you not, that which that person said makes sense. And then I'm like, oh, I want to do it now. I get it. I'm ready to do it. Are you ready to do it? If you're not ready, don't do it. Because you could like read the Bible and you hate it, and you could pray and you hate it. It ain't going to help you. But if you come to the point where you're like, man, I need God. I need prayer. I need the Bible truth. Then it's going to be sweet. Not going to be completely easy, but it's going to be sweet. You're ready for it. So God, say, God, in your time, I trust it. As I love you, and as I focus on you every day, in your time, you're going to make me ready. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. And then you will do it, and it will not feel like hard work. It will be light, and it will be easy, as Jesus said. So, please go home, chew on this. The yoke of Jesus is rest. Rest. If you're wondering, what is the yoke of Jesus? What is it's rest. Rest in his arms. Enjoy it. Don't tell yourself like, no, there's got to be more. Don't psych yourself out. Enjoy it. Go home and tell yourself, let yourself enjoy the yoke of Jesus, because it's rest. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand as we sing our closing song. Wonderful Peace.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rose a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love, what a treasure I have in this wonder. Buried deep in my innermost soul, so secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Oh, peace, peace, wonderful. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love,
I believe
when I rise. to the city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see. That one strain of a song which the ransomed will sing in that heavenly kingdom will be. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, the God of rest and the God of peace, the God of joy and the God of love. Lord, I pray that you will put a hedge of protection around each person as they go forth from here. Protect them, dear God, from the onslaughts of this world. Protect that rest and that peace that is right now in our souls. Dear God, may we live in that day after day. Thank you, Jesus, for making that possible and showing us what it's like in real life. May we live as Sabbath keepers every day, and to live with your yoke of rest upon us. We pray and ask this in your precious name. Amen.